table, everybody. The Detroit Lions have completed the 2023 NFL Draft, and boy, was it a wild ride. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. This podcast made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. Here this morning to break it all down, share with you, give you some insights regarding what it was like for me to cover my second draft in person. Been covering the Detroit Lions for 5 years on a full-time basis with the crew. Give you a little insight about some conversations, what it was like being there, the grind, putting out content, and then you have to hear it. My review, what did I think? I'm going to start with that. The Detroit Lions, in my opinion, crushed this draft. Many people are just flipping their lid regarding the selection of a running back. I don't understand those that are just really locked in on old models, talking about other teams and what they've done. Guys, other teams have crappy general managers. You should know this by now. You should know that other teams have been rolling with general managers that don't know what they're doing. You don't have that in this situation. You don't. You have to accept, based on what we saw over the course of the last 3 days, the Detroit Lions have a competent, efficient general manager who has a vision, who has a team in place, who is able to target players that have talent from big schools. I mean, how are you going to criticize a general manager that goes to Alabama, gets deep into their system, has obviously deep connections, and is obviously talking to their coaching staff, talking to the strength and conditioning coaches, talking to position coaches, and targeting players who have talent at Alabama? Do you think Alabama goes out and targets 3-star recruits? No. They target Jameson Williams. They get transfers with the caliber of a Jahmyr Gibbs. So when you start to name off the reasons why you wouldn't like Jahmyr Gibbs, I think you just got to go back and watch the film. I'm not disappointed. Me personally, now there's a difference when you have a player that you like and the team doesn't take them. That doesn't mean the player that they actually took is lesser than. I think that, comparatively speaking, when you dig into the film of Jahmyr Gibbs compared to Bijan Robinson, it's just a different player, a different style of player that the Lions were looking at. And I've recorded podcasts before, and I'm on record saying that I would not have minded the Detroit Lions selecting a running back at number 6. I understand those that are really upset at that situation, knowing what other teams have done. It just hasn't happened at a high clip at other places or in the National Football League. But when you just remove all of that and just look specifically at the Lions situation, I know it's hard to accept, guys. Trust me. I'm in your shoes. I was a former season ticket holder. I'm in the trenches. I'm there. Earned my way as an opportunity to be a media member to cover the team from my situation. And I look at it and I tell you that the Detroit Lions, if you look at their situation specifically, then you have to be able to really look at what they're trying to accomplish with the members of their roster. And you look at it and you say, hey, this is a football team that upgraded at positions of need. And they're taking football players that hit and handle a specific criteria that is being looked for. So how can you question something that has clearly worked when a team goes from 3 wins to 9 wins? I just have a hard time. I get it. I understand the debates and I respect that fully. I respect that fully in regards to those that have those questions. But at the same time, I'm not saying you don't have the right to question it. I'm just saying that when you really start to look at the basis of your questions, you're discounting the skill set that a specific executive brings to the table. Brad Holmes, largely credited with putting together the draft board of the Rams, who had consistent playoff success, went from a dormant franchise all the way through with Jared Goff, got to the Super Bowl, and then retooled and got there and won it with Matthew Stafford. Brad Holmes has a piece of that. Ray Agnew has a piece of that. So you look at it and you say, okay, instant credibility. Now you look at where the Detroit Lions are at. He says, okay, I have a specific plan, and I see this roster that has been put there on the field, and you see a TJ Hockenson, a Jeff Okuda, and a DeAndre Swift. Many times in years past, those guys might have been career Lions. They might have been given third and fourth chances to go out there. Brad Holmes said, hey, we watched the tape. I trust the coaches, and those guys are gone. They're gone. So he evaluates quickly issues and moves on from them. And at the same time, gives the players a decent amount of respect by giving them opportunities to go to places that potentially they can shine. Okuda with the Falcons has an opportunity to resurrect his career if it's going to happen. DeAndre Swift obviously battled injuries and just wasn't going to be a player that this team was going to count on based on what they're looking for. Sends him to Philadelphia, his home. He didn't send him to the worst team in the league. Didn't send him to a bottom feeder. Sent him to the Eagles to have a chance to shine. And all you can say is, do you believe that Jahmyr Gibbs is a little bit better than DeAndre Swift? And I think he is. That's what you can ask for. That means the offense has improved. And then you also have to remember, it's not just Brad Holmes picking players and just randomly, nilly-dilly putting together a draft class. He obviously takes input from Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson wants tight end Sam Laporta in this offense. He wants running back Jahmyr Gibbs in this offense. He wants to develop Hendon Hooker. Instant credibility. Ben Johnson has a top five offense. You saw when Anthony Lynn was running the offense, and it looked like it was 1975 again. Handing the ball off for 3 yards. Goff looked out of place. You didn't even utilize Amon-Ra St. Brown. Ben Johnson comes in and is like, whoa, let's tailor this offense to the skills that we got. And look what happened. Instant results. An offense that you can be proud of, that you can like. Who wouldn't like an offense that has an explosive player like Jahmyr Gibbs on it with that offensive line? I mean, come on, you have the perfect balance. Jahmyr Gibbs hopefully can stay healthy. David Montgomery will shed more tackles. If you just add 40 yards more rushing per game, now you have more time in possession. Now you help your defense. So I get the overall question based on years past and the debates and wondering about positional value and all those that are outside the box looking and outside Detroit's facilities looking at what they're doing and saying, hey, this doesn't jive with what a lot of NFL teams are doing. Stop worrying about that. Who cares where they're drafted? They're on the Lions. So you look at it, and what did we all clamor for? What was I screaming for the last 3 years? What was I screaming? I was screaming, this linebacking core needs an upgrade. What did they do? They went and they upgraded the linebacking core. What more can you ask for? Jack Campbell is a solid player. He has the mindset that I think Dan Campbell and that defense are going to love. Aggressive, hungry, wants to be a leader. I mean, when your college coach comes out and says that this person, whoever gets him, is going to be in that building for 10 years, you're not going to want to let that guy leave the building. Ray Lewis. I mean, those are names and comparables that you want to be hearing the players that you draft have. And that's what they got. So yes, I understand. Okay. I wanted Bijan Robinson at number 6. Am I up here crushing the Lions because they didn't get the guy I wanted at number 6? No. Brad Holmes actually maneuvered and said, okay, maybe Devin Witherspoon was the A-plus guy that they wanted, and another team coveted him. They move on, and they get a guy on their offense that can be productive, and productive instantly, which will allow this team to take a step forward. The team's better. The offense is better with Jahmyr Gibbs than DeAndre Swift. It's clear. DeAndre Swift just couldn't stay healthy enough to be productive. And guys, it's not just the games. One thing about this regime, which is fair, is they're generally honest when you ask pointed, direct questions. And Dan Campbell has said a million times, Deuce Daly said before he left, if you can't practice, it's going to impact what we think about you. It's going to impact your preparation. These are nuts and bolts guys. Show up to work. Don't show up to work when you need to. And then when it's time to do the nitty-gritty dirty work, you're not available for practice. And it's not a slight on DeAndre Swift. It's a hard game. But bottom line, the Lions want guys that will practice hard. That will be the biggest clue and the biggest indicator of a guy that's going to perform well on the field. It's a straightforward evaluation. If you can't practice, it just throws things off. And that's why Swift wasn't utilized the same way with Dan Campbell. And in the end, they eventually moved on. So I love the first-round pick of Jahmyr Gibbs. You trade down even to get number 12. You don't even have to pay him as high as a top 10 pick. You get him at number 12, same spot they got Jameson Williams the year before. I mean, you're going to Alabama and picking talent. It's the best players. The best players in college are in Alabama and Georgia and the SEC. Brad Holmes enjoys players like that. And then when you look to grit, hey, you go to Iowa. Tough, hard nose. Now, of course, you can debate, well, you know, they could have took in a different tight end, maybe a current player that has more of a well-rounded skill set and blocking at this time. But I still trust in the development of what this coaching staff brings to the table. I don't discount the fact they got a new tight ends coach that is a former player that discussed the fact that, hey, we're probably looking to add a more well-rounded player. So they're going to bring in Sam Laporta and they're going to develop him and he'll eventually be a solid blocker. Look for that. Look for the development of a player. Just because a player doesn't have a skill set, the second they drop him, he's going to be working for the next 6 months with the Lions. Coaching, film, technique, working with the tight ends on the roster. Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, all have worked with tight ends. Guys, it's not the end of the world. Next Gen Stats, analytics have proven that this is an athletic draft class among the top athletic draft classes that you can rate analytically. Not only are they hitting personality fits in terms of grit, personality fits, they're hitting analytically solid players. You can't ask for more. You can't be so rigid and stringent in your value of this positional value nonsense. If there's a good player, I agree 100% with that model. If you watch film and you like the guy, go get him. Who cares what position and what round? It's going to be proven. I trust in Brad Holmes to be able to use the system in place and apply it. Now, of course, we're going to question things. Of course, you have the right. I don't mind if you come at me and say, hey, you could have added different players. That's a healthy discussion. I can't wait to see the debate. I can't wait to see if Bijan Robinson has a stellar career. I can't wait to see if Jalen Carter has a stellar career and maybe makes it a little bit cringeworthy that the Lions passed on him. Those are great things to look for. But I think it's not unfair to say that the Lions' defense improved by the way in which they're going to handle their offense. Look, guys, it's an offensive league. We've all said it. That's the way it is. Chiefs, they had a solid defense, but not world beaters on defense. They gave up plays. They're not known as the 1985 Bears. So Brad Holmes is doing what other top NFL teams are doing. So sit back, just kind of remove. Yes, take in information from others. Take in as much information as possible so you're not living in an echo chamber and just living in a world where if your favorite blogger loves what's doing, you follow them. Listen, I think it's great. I think the best things I read are from those that have a completely different opinion than me. So that way it helps shape your opinion. Don't just be in an echo chamber where, hey, I listen to this guy because he tells me everything I want to hear, or I don't listen to that guy because he is way too positive and I think the Lions draft sucked. Challenge yourself and reach out and learn more. Read as much content as possible from a variety of opinion sources. That way you can shape your opinion. But when I look at this draft class, I think you also realize too, they got a defensive back in Brian Branch that was really highly touted, a player that fits perfectly what Aaron Glenn is going to want to be able to accomplish on defense. Versatile, smart, can anticipate, can play at different spots, can be a player that makes impactful plays. Can you imagine Brian Branch now and you have the skill set of Tracy Walker and Kirby Joseph, and now you add the veterans with talent and Cam Sutton and C.J. Gardner-Johnson who are going to teach and mold these young cats? Come on now, you can't beat that. Brian Branch, A-plus grade, universally accepted. The pick, I think, that is going to cause the most debate and stir the most discussion is the quarterback pick at number 68 overall in round 3, quarterback Hendon Hooker. So I think it's imperative that we have a fair discussion about that. Look, there obviously is a close connection. There obviously is a tie in regards to Brad Holmes and Hendon Hooker's family. Obviously, there is a connection, and the organization wants to develop a player like Hendon Hooker. Now, of course, naturally speaking, you're going to question, when's he going to get out there on the field? When's he going to challenge Jared Goff? Guys, this is still Jared Goff's team. This team is being built for Jared Goff. they want to develop Hendon Hooker to be somebody that can be productive, that might potentially have the opportunity to challenge Jared Goff in a couple years. It's not going to happen now. Guys, if Jared Goff goes down, I have a hard, hard time believing that they're going to throw Hendon Hooker into the mix. I think this is another year where if you just look at what happens, Hendon Hooker won't see the field in 2023. Not at all. Jared Goff, if he goes down, I think you go to Nate Sudfeld because he's been in the offense. He's been in the scheme for a year. You just get him that experience further along in his career. You just roll it out there. I think it would be reckless if they threw Hendon Hooker out there, not having the full offseason, the full situation. Guys, this is the definition of a developmental player. And they see the intangibles. They see leadership. They see skill set. They see a player that needs to rehab. And they like it's a diamond that is very still untapped. You haven't done the work on it to chisel it and mold it and shape it in the way in which you want. But if you're going to have an organization mold a player, wouldn't you want 1 year with Hendon Hooker being taught by Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, and that offensive staff? Remember, Mark Brunell's on this offense who had a similar injury. Perspective, growth, teaching him how to be professional, the work needed. And then the relationship with Jared Goff, I think, will be beneficial. I think, guys, a lot of that talk about competition and stuff like that is all based in kind of the idea of controversy and the idea of, hey, these guys are not going to like each other. Guys, they're going to be professional. They're going to sit in that room for long hours, 16 hours sometimes, and break down film. Jared Goff is going to be able to part knowledge into a player regarding what he's seen from the NFC, what he's seen from certain tendencies from defenses. All that knowledge should be gained by Hendon Hooker and used in his career, whether it's in Detroit or not. But I do believe that, hey, if it doesn't work, the track record's there. He'll be given an opportunity, maybe when the time comes. And then if he doesn't succeed, there'll be other drafts where the Lions can potentially select a quarterback. It's not like Hendon Hooker is the only quarterback out there in the entire world, and then there's no more drafts. So I like the pick. I think it's a solid pick, and will eventually, based on the personality and his leadership style, I think he's going to work out. Even though he's 26, hey, if he gets his opportunity at 28, you give him an opportunity and see what he does with it. It's not like 28-year-old quarterbacks are, you know, thrown out to pasture. Hey, you get an opportunity at 28, you get 6-7 years, hey, now you're the guy. You can even extend your career, you know, get a 13-year career as a starting quarterback. Who would bat an eye at that? And guys, I think it also raises the bar for Jared Goff, who also now has the pressure. His pressure is a little bit different. His pressure now for Jared Goff is to go out and win playoff games. When the heat is the hottest, with this weapons that you have, what do? This will decide and give the team their evaluation regarding, do they want to move forward and give him $50 million a year? That's what's going to happen is, hey, when the team's down three, potentially in the playoffs, and you need that drive and you're on your own 35, what do? Do you handle the pressure? Do you make the key plays? Do you give the ball to the correct individual to make the play? And then you go from there. Now you have more of an evaluation. Jared Goff's first year was a redshirt year here in Detroit. It was awful. It was learning. Then you give him the guy that says, hey, I'm going to build this offense for you. And look what he did. Now you get another year of adding talent and removing troublesome situations and adding players that will be impactful. The Jameson Williams situation just stinks because it puts a dent in the Lions offense. But in the end, with your first five picks, you got players that can plug and play, get in there and handle business. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch are going to be players. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 players that I believe you've added. That's 50% of your draft class. The rest are more developmental and don't get the big, you know, they don't get as much pressure on them because they're going to be battling for roster spots and playing time anyway. Hendon Hooker, Broderick Martin, the offensive lineman, Colby Sorsdale, and wide receiver Antoine Green. The bottom half is more developmental. Hey, let's go. We're giving you the opportunity to compete and start to develop. The team will be given that opportunity. So I rate this draft class as a B+. I don't think, like everybody else that says a C average and really dings the Lions for where they took these players, I understand those that don't like what they did. But at this point in time, my personal opinion is I see what the plan is. I see that, hey, players are given the opportunity to show what they can do. If they don't, they're quickly moved on from. Simple as that. Jeff Okuda, everybody saw, hey, this guy wasn't it. Boom. So you're telling me, guys, you don't think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to make explosive plays? He ain't it. That's why you're giving him a grade of a D or a C, because he wasn't taking number 18. He might not have been there. So I just hope that you guys watch him and hope that, you know, you see how he's going to be used in combination with David Montgomery with that offensive line. Come on, Sam Laporta. I think he's going to have an opportunity to get some touches, to compete, to have opportunities to make plays, to do things a little bit more in the offense. Brian Branch, he's going to make plays, breakups, anticipate, do things in combination with the others to make the defense a lot better. And that defensive line is solid as it is with who you got. So you improve the offense, you improve the defense. So I give this, I think you should bang the table. I can see why Brad Holmes does it. He added players that he thinks will improve this football team. And I believe it too. And then you look at, guys, it doesn't stop there. You added talent with the undrafted free agents. 12 players, I believe, at the time I'm recording this. You have competition at a lot of different spots. You've plugged holes at several different spots. Yeah, you could have got Jalen Carter. Yeah, you could have got different talent, and we'll have that debate. But let's see how these players, I think you can't look at these players at top four and tell me that they're not going to come in and play and perform at a high level. I just don't see it. I think they are. I think they're going to come in and play. I don't see failure rate being high with any of these players, barring injury. Jahmyr Gibbs going to come in and handle business. Jack Campbell is going to be a player that learns from Alex Anzalone, from Derek Barnes, from Calvin Shepard, the position coach, and he's going to come in and do what he's got to do. Sam Laporta is going to have an opportunity to get some touches his rookie year. Guys, I think it's time to bang the table. It's time. It's time to turn the page a little bit. Now, is this a Super Bowl caliber team? No. But again, you can't do it all in one draft. There's still an opportunity this offseason to tinker and look for talent that gets cut. So it's not done. It's never, ever done. So you look at it and you say, hey, there's an opportunity for this football team to move forward and handle business. So like I said, it's a B-plus draft. I think it's going to come to fruition that, guys, when you see and put all the pieces together, I think what maybe psychologically, being that I'm a psychologist, I think psychologically there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear based on history that the Lions don't know what they're doing. And I get it. Trust me, I understand. I had drafts passed where I said, what the hell are they doing? What the hell is going on in regards to the draft strategy? Who takes a cornerback at number three that might be a little bit slower? You know, I get it. It wasn't the player. It wasn't the time. I didn't think Jeff Okudo was going to have the opportunity to succeed, especially given the fact that the defense wasn't there yet. He still didn't have as much talent around him at the defensive line position. You know, you didn't have Aiden Hutchinson until last year. So I look at it and I say, hey, it's time to be able to turn the page a little bit and give the benefit of the doubt that collectively the players on the roster are doing a lot better. So I think, you know, we'll have those debates. We're going to have them. I can't wait to get the perspective of Adam, I think, who's going to be very disappointed. You can even check the perspective of Logan Lamarandier, who did not like the draft and things like that. So I look at it and I say, hey, it's time to turn the page a little bit and give Brad Holmes the benefit of the doubt that, hey, these players, and also too in the draft, got through 25 minutes, didn't even talk about the fact that Brad Holmes maneuvered the draft in an expert kind of way, moved up, moved down. I think also too, the way in which the board shook out was completely, you know, in a way that was solid and was something that is something to look at in regards to, wow, there's a general manager that has now found confidence working the phones, talking to other general managers, and doing the things that he's got to do. So I'm very happy and I'm very appreciative of his opportunity to do the things that he's got to do to move this forward. So let's see. Mini camp in 2 weeks. You check in with all Lions as we give you the insights from what we see. All the draft picks will have an opportunity to speak, and you'll get a chance to learn more about it. With my last couple minutes here, just want to share what it was like being there. Man, it's a whirlwind. The way in which I'll describe it is it's like organized chaos. You get there day one, and you get there right around, I think I got there maybe around 5:36, and you start that process of seeing, okay, what's going on with the rumors, what's being talked about, looking at last-minute projections, and then it gets going, and then boom, Brad Holmes makes the trade, and you start getting your coverage in order. You say, okay, what could they trade for? And you get a little bit more time to see how the draft board evaluates. I was still, you know, surprised a little bit with the Anthony Richardson pick going to the Colts. And then you say, okay, it happened. What I wanted happened. Jalen Carter was there at 6. Lions could have taken him. And so the answer was revealed. Lions were not down with Jalen Carter, which is not going to be a surprise to anybody when some of the reports, and he said it himself, Jalen Carter said it himself, that he took plays off, maybe did not work as hard as he may have wanted to at college. That was going to be a turnoff for the Lions. So that was it. You got the clear answer. He was not the guy based on the evaluation. They traded down. And you see the other picks. I think the Devin Witherspoon pick ahead of the Lions obviously caught the attention of the NFL world, and it forced the Lions to make a quick decision and make a move, and they did. And you realize, okay, that day one is all about Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. Day two, you know, day two is the toughest day to cover, guys, because early on you get to meet the first round picks and you talk to them, and you recap everything that Brad Holmes said the night before. You do projections regarding what could happen on day two, and then you go through day two, which was, you know, unbelievably challenging because you talk to the players and you talk to Brad Holmes again. So day two, which was Friday, is a long day where you end up getting to the Allen Park facility, you know, right around the time of like 2 o'clock because of the pressers that are like an hour, hour and a half later. And then you're there all night. I think I left there at 12:30 or so later in the morning after Brad Holmes had spoken, after the round completes, and then writing a recap and everything like that. So by the time day three comes, you are a little bit of a zombie and does have a feel of a, like, just trying to get to the finish line. But then what amps you up is there's trade rumors with DeAndre Swift, which we had reported on before the draft, prior to everybody catching up to ESPN and everything like that. We discussed DeAndre Swift. We've discussed DeAndre Swift being traded well before the draft because the writing is on the wall that he's not a Dan Campbell guy. So he was included in all the All Lions trade rumors all the offseason, along with Jeff Okuda. We nailed that, and we understood that just based on pure understanding of scheme and fit. They weren't fits. So they were included in all those articles. And now you move forward, and it happened, boom, that Brad Holmes added a fourth-round pick in 2025, and you move on from DeAndre Swift. That's juice because people are like, oh, the debate there. And obviously, when Brad Holmes made the pick of Broderick Martin, he lopped off day three picks, which, you know, guys, to be quite frankly, made a lot of the media happy and was like, okay, we don't have to do the entire process for three more draft picks. So day three was a little bit lighter, a lot more waiting around, a lot more opportunity to sit and actually enjoy the draft. And I think it's a day two where everyone debriefs and has conversations with everyone else in the media, which is great because my standing is fine. I think, you know, I have solid relationships with a lot of the people in that room. And I'll share this. I've been there now regularly where I show up to Allen Park, cover the team. I don't travel. That was the agreement that I made just based on my, when people ask, oh, well, you go to the home games, but you don't go to the away games. I committed to my family. I choose family first. I have a strong passion for sports. I love sports, but sports and covering the Lions doesn't rank above being home 365 days a year to hug my kids and to be there. Like every morning I wake up, I give them a big hug, and that fuels me to do the job. So that was part of the agreement, was asking and requesting that I don't be forced to travel. And thankfully, the good Lord blessed me with, you know, upper management at All Lions and the Arena Group and SI.com. Great management. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to put it out there publicly. World-class management, that they're upfront, they're honest, and they tell it like it is, and they expect results. And that's all a guy like me would ask for. So you're just trying to get to the finish line. You're having conversations, a little bit more fun, not as stringent as day two and day one. So covering it, we had some fun in the media room, joking, speculating, you know, breaking down what the Lions did. And you look at everything, and the opportunity is there to, you know, connect with other media members and things like that. So being there 5 years, you know, I give ultimate credit to Dave Burkett. I think him and I kind of see things the same way in terms of how we would look at a story and target it. right away, within the first year or two I was there, he was the first one to ask me, what are you about? Why are you here? Stuff like that. It was inquisitive, curious. The rest, I think, were very normal, very the way in which you'd handle it. You wait and see, does John talk to me first and stuff like that? There's always a couple handful of reporters that I always joke with and, you know, open that bridge with. But by and large, I'm more of a guy that engages more when someone else leads the conversation. I'm more of a, hey, if we're just two people sitting next to each other, I'm just going to sit and observe and take in all the information and be more of a guy that's laid back, not as self-aware of everything going on. Interesting, if you want to know, there were interns that were there the entire year in 2022. I didn't even recognize them as interns. I knew who they were. They did such a great job. I just thought they were staffers that they hired because they were so good. They got everything done. They weren't making a ton of, you know, they didn't act like interns. And so when it was time to show appreciation to the interns, I just simply asked, I said, who are the interns? And the media room was like, what? You didn't know who they were? I was like, oh, I thought they worked here. That's what I put on their card. I said, you guys did such a great job. I had no clue you guys were even interns. So I'm more of a guy that just keeps to my work, works with my staff, and doesn't really engage in a lot of conversation. A little bit here and there, the basics, a little bit of jokes, the levity and stuff like that regarding the job. But I'm not the most chatty catty in there. I like to keep to myself and get to work and do the stuff I got to do. But this year, I took it as, oh, okay, because, you know, someone that you obviously have respect for when you see the grind and the reason why you got to step up and put out a lot of content and do the work is because of a guy like Justin Rogers. I mean, the guy does the work. He does it completely top to bottom in the way in which you'd want a journalist to do the job. And he's grinding just as hard as everybody else. He's doing the thing. He's one of the top guys there. And, you know, obviously, I think personality-wise, we kind of tell the – if I were to tell the jokes openly, him and I would be very similar in the way in which we would tell jokes and see things. He's just more open and more comfortable being there a decade that he can, you know, say things and act a certain way. I would say those same things, but I'm just not as comfortable sharing it because who knows how the hell it's going to be perceived and taken. So I don't open those doors. But first time in a while – I would say first time Justin had asked me, what are you guys about? He asked me – and first of all, I was shocked, you know, because we're more high buy kind of thing for the first couple years. But he asked me about it, and it was a lull in the action. And I said to him, and like I am more prone to do, I said to him, my guys do everything. He asked me how many guys I work with. And I said, my guys do everything. And he's like, everything? He took it literally. And he's like, well, so why are you here? Well, no, okay. Justin, I'm sure, is not researching the deep, dark details of All Lions, but I do write, Justin. I do put out a lot of content. I do podcasts and videos and other things besides just putting out written articles. So I gave my guys credit, and so he's like, why are you here then? So I said, I'm just here to captain the ship. I think that answer might have been like, huh, you're the captain? I think his first thought in his head was, okay, yeah, you're captaining the ship? Oh, my God, what kind of ship is that? But no, and in totality, I obviously gave the guys credit, but it was nice to share a little bit with what I do with another reporter and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously want everybody to know that, yeah, I make sure the content's good. I make sure the topics are in order, similar to what others would be, and then assigning content and stuff like that. But I'm a podcaster. That's what my title I would like to be known as, is a guy that wants to use his voice and his words to express his opinions, and then is also developing as a writer, developing as someone that can convey his idea with written words. But I'm gravitating to the videos, the podcast, the multimedia journalist type of thing. And it was fun. It was fun to connect a little bit more. And to the funny part is, when I'm put on the spot, I always say things that will lead to people misinterpreting what I'm about. So to give the details, yeah, I'm All Lions, like any other sports website, we put out content in regards to the Detroit Lions in a wide variety of angles. Speculation, rumors, highlights, entertainment, bold opinions, bold takes. We just try to do it all. Every aspect of the Lions. And I think that we've learned from others, and we have our own spice to it. And we have the nice balance of strong critics versus those that are very passionate and supportive of the Lions. And I think that's what makes it work. And I gave credit to my guys, Vito, Logan, and our great video team with Cameron and Logan, Vito, Christian, all doing good work for All Lions. And so that's the team that we're about, you know. And it was nice that Justin took a second to ask, and we can talk a little bit more openly. So, because like I said, I think most people if you got a description of what John's about from others, it would be vastly different than if you sat down with me and learned what I was about. And to answer your question, honestly, Justin, why would I show up to Allen Park? Because I fucking love it. Because that's why I show up. I am a fan of football. I'm a fan of the Lions. I grew up watching them. I was invested monetarily as a season ticket holder. And then my journey was, the biggest reason I show up there was because I was told I couldn't for a time. I was told, as the role in which you have perceived and entered into sports is not welcome at a sporting team's media center. And I said, oh, okay, makes sense. Podcasting is not traditional back in 2014, 2015. Let's make it traditional and let's make some noise and kick the door down. So every time I walk through the doors, I smile. No matter how tired I am, no matter how tough it is, and knowing that you got a lot of content to put out, I walk through those doors happily because I know how I got there, and how I got there was not traditional. And it makes it sweeter to do the job. It fuels you. It gets you up to do a podcast. It gets you up to analyze and speculate and to grow a following and to have people consistently chirp back at you when you say things and they want to prove you wrong. So that's why I do it, because I truly enjoy doing it. It's fun. And I get to do it in the way that I could do this job in this way for 50 years. They don't burn me out. They let me do what I got to do. There's no pressure from an outside source. The pressure is internal, which is where it needs to be. And that's why I'm there. I'm there as much as humanly possible. I'm not there as much as the beat writers. I'm there 85% of the time. Now, let's give myself more credit. I'm there 90% of the time. When the time comes and family's first, that's always the case. It'll always be family first. And then the passion and the love of my own needs is met through covering a sporting team at the NFL level from where I'm at. Guys, hopefully it's a good little insight. And then when you leave there, you know, I got there at 10:30 on Saturday, 10:30 a.m., and left at 8:15 and covered it wall to wall. And I think being in the mix made it awesome. And I thank you guys for allowing me to be in the mix. Bang the table! It's a great week. It's a great time to be a fan of the Detroit Lions. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Make sure anywhere that you find your favorite audio content, DSP, Detroit Sports Podcast, make sure you go to All Lions and visit si.com/NFL/Lions and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks, everybody. It's going to be a fun time breaking down the Detroit Lions and their 2023 roster.